Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to my show. I'm your host, Diana Bellaros, award-winning and best-selling author, Fahrenheit, The Journey of Transformation, award-winning singer and filmmaker. You can find out more about me on my website, dianabellaros.com. You can download also the podcast for free, and you can use it to make a difference in the world. So today we have Sofia Sepulveda. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. And she has been fighting a lot for on behalf of so many mothers, going through so many things when it comes to the corruption with the justice system. And she's here with us to tell us her story. Welcome to my show, Sofia. We cannot wait to help you, support you, and hear your story.
Thank you so much. I'm very thankful for this opportunity, not just to tell our story, but just to tell everyone's story that has been a victim of family court corruption and just corruption throughout the court system. So thank you again for inviting me today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and what happened to you, as well as what kind of steps are you taking to make sure that the things that are happening is not going to happen to anybody else?
Absolutely. It started December 28th, 2021. My daughter was, she got assaulted at the end of November. It proceeded me to go into a breakdown, very depressed. I was prescribed Xanax. I overdosed on it. And that day, December 28th, I decided to go driving to an interview. I thought that I was arrested for DUI, possession, and for abandonment. So what turned out to happen, I wasn't driving intoxicated. My blood results show no alcohol, no anything to make me impaired behind the wheel. The abandonment was because I went into T-Mobile to charge my phone. Again, my son at the time was 10 years old. He didn't want to go to T-Mobile, as most kids don't. So the state of Texas is now trying to try me for these charges, but yet my blood results show nothing, that everything was normal. The car was parked. There was no damage. There was no injured party. So with a crime, there has to be an injured party, meaning, like, let's say if I got in an accident, that person I hit would have been that injured party. So they took almost 2 years to indict me. The state of Texas did not indict me until December 13th of 2023. But in the meantime, CPS took my children based off no grounds. I do have the evidence of there was no grounds to take the children when I got arrested. So that I got my kids back with, it usually takes 12 to 18 months. I got my children back in 6 months. Once we got all reunited, my 7-year-old son, father went and filed for custody 2 days prior to the Texas judge giving me my children back. He could have filed for custody when that we had an emergency, which was December 28th. He waited 2 days prior to me getting my children back out of spite. So I went through a very long 18-month custody battle. In that battle, I'm a single mother, so I don't have thousands of dollars for an attorney, but I came up with the money to have an attorney fight for my children and for myself, who did nothing for our case. He didn't file any paperwork. I asked for orders. He didn't even give me the orders that were signed by the judge. The amount of corruption in my case is extreme. It's extreme. On October 20th or October 1st, he withdrew. The judge at the courthouse granted his withdrawal. Per Texas statute, a lawyer can't withdraw within 30 days prior to trial, but he did. So I went to trial on my own. I did the best I could, but I'm not a lawyer. You know, I've been studying family law for 2 years, but trial is very different. So that's when the judge took Cameron again away from us, my children and I. She changed the conservatorship, that's what custody is called in Texas, and she did that based off no evidence and no facts. So there are no facts of the case showing, hey, this mom is unfit. No judge has ever said I was unfit. There's no facts saying my children are in harm's way. You have to have facts to have a case, you know, for family court. For a criminal, you have to have an injured party. You have to have certain jurisdictions per the Constitution. If they can't tell you what the jurisdiction of the court is, then they don't have a case. So once I realized what I asked for a new trial, the judge denied my request, and I filed an appeal. So right now I'm at the Fifth Court of Appeals. My appellate brief is due June 16th or on or before June 16th. As I've been researching and writing this brief, I have learned about more about our constitutional rights. And that's what I want to use our story to let everyone know that you need to know your constitutional rights. That's the one law that all of us, all citizens of the United States, are to follow. There are state laws, of course, but the Constitution is that one law that we must all know. I mean, the 14th Amendment, First Amendment, Fifth Amendment, you have to know your rights because police officers, there's judges, there's lawyers, they will all take advantage of you and just make you think, intimidate you and put fear into you. So you just do whatever, you take that plea or you give them your blood results. You know, like, you don't have to do those certain things. You don't even have to give your ID if an officer asks if there's no crime being committed. There's a lot of laws that I've learned, or, you know, amendments that I've learned that are so important that everyone should know. I want to use our story to not just let them know about our story, but because there's so many families out there that have the same story as mine. Families that are too scared to speak up because the government is so big. I'm not afraid anymore. You know, I'm naming names. I'm filing lawsuits. I'm making sure that these people are held accountable. But I'm also speaking for the other mothers, the other families, the fathers, the children that can't speak for themselves, don't know how to speak. I've become a family court advocate. I met other advocates that are amazing. I mean, the amount of knowledge that they have shared with me is, they really helped me a lot. I thought I was alone for 2 years, and then I found advocacy. I found my family. You know, they helped me keep going. I'm all about keep going. You know, it might be hard. That judge just took away your child, but you can keep going. You have to keep fighting. You have to keep reading. You have to learn. Knowledge is power. You know, you have to go into that courtroom and be like, you're not going to intimidate me into taking a plea. You're not going to scare me into taking a plea because I know my constitutional right says I have a right to face my accuser. You know, the state of Texas, for example, is an entity. It's not a living person or man. So in my case, without a injured party, they have no case, but they want to go to trial. That's fine. We can go to trial. But when it comes to, there's a bill right now that's out in Congress that I've been pushing for. It's called the Families Rights and Responsibility Act. This bill is so super important just because it will hold judges accountable for making decisions like this based off no evidence, no facts, not following the oath that they choose in. And this bill is just, it would recognize our parental rights under the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause. It would recognize what our rights to our children. And then, again, it would hold judges accountable. And we absolutely have to have this bill pushed. So I do have a petition going around on change.org. And I'm almost at 500 signatures. That's my goal. I will be sending it to not only the Virginia Fox is the one who introduced it to Congress. Jasmine Crockett is my she should know, but she's my contact in Dallas, Texas. I tag her all the time and what's going on with us and what I'm advocating for. But I'm sending everything to all the co-sponsors to show them that we have a real problem in the court systems. You know, there should be evidence, there should be facts to these cases, and these judges are just taking children from a stable, loving home into a home that they don't even know if the child is safe. You know, they're doing it maybe because they're getting paid for it or just because it's their parental preference. And we don't do that. You know, we can't hurt children like that because children will be hurt for the rest of their lives based off of someone's own personal preference, and it has to stop. So, you know, I'm here today just to encourage all the mothers and fathers just to keep going, keep fighting, learn your rights, read the Constitution. It's hard. It's not easy to read. It's like it's in Chinese. It's very difficult, but you have to keep going and keep fighting because it's a big battle, but we need to work together to make a change, and I'm here to do my part.
Good for you. You're a warrior. Mm-hmm. Definitely
a
difference maker.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, it's really sad when one child is, you know, separated from their other siblings, and it's heartbreaking. And just the fact that this child doesn't live with brothers and sisters, it's really sad, and it's a common sense that definitely this child belongs with the mother and with other brothers and sisters. So I honestly don't see any logic in what they're doing and why they're doing, and probably they're biased in some way. It's really disturbing. I'm so sorry. Yeah, and definitely hurts the child at the end. And there's so many mothers, like I said, going through the same thing.
Yes, and I, you know, my message to you know, the parents is just, you know, follow your gut. Because I got served notice of an emergency hearing 2 hours prior to the hearing. I'm like, this doesn't feel right. I think this is part of due process. And, you know, now looking back, it was due process. It was a due process violation, which is a constitutional violation, you know, to my rights. And that's why knowing your rights per the Constitution is just so important, because these people don't care about you. You know, they look at you for the money. You know, look at all the fees I can get. Look at, you know, I can get her for the tickets. Or, I mean, they care. The government just cares about money. They don't care about us. But so we have to work together to, you know, show them, no, we're a citizen. We pay you. We elect you to be in that seat. You know, these judges, we elected you to be in that seat. You're lucky we're pretty much your boss, you know. So they need to recognize that if we got to stay strong, we got to stand up, rise up, you know, the people that are scared to talk, you know, I understand that. I was too. It took a lot, but when I saw my kids' pain and that pain in their face, all five of them, I wasn't scared anymore. So I would love to help other people. You know, they could just reach out to me and we can fight this together, because someone's going to listen. Someone's going to hear and know that this is a real problem. This bill needs to be made into a law, because that will change everything. So I just want everyone to know to just keep going and stay strong and stay in prayer and read. Reading is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Knowledge is very important. It can go a long way. That's how you win in life, even.
Yes,
ma'am. You know, you need to know.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So can you tell us what happened? Why did you separate from your ex? What exactly happened between you two? I know I'm going back, but it's just a little information. Yeah.
Oh, my son's father. Oh, he was never around. When I told him I was Cameron, he left. He wanted me to get an abortion. I said no. And that was the last time I saw him until 2020, you know, when COVID hit, it scared me. I'm like, oh God, what if something happens to us? You know, maybe he should meet his father, you know, but let me just, you know, it's what happened in the past. It's fine. I mean, I know he abandoned Cameron, before he was even born, but you know, what if something happens, you know, cause of COVID was scary, very scary time. So I reached out to him on Cameron's birthday. They met of August of 2020. And they just started contacting CPS with false claims. I'm just like, what are you talking about? You know, we have a home, you know, we have food. Why are you here? So CPS is very, CPS can't be trusted. I mean, the caseworker was wonderful, but you know, these are false claims. You know, you interrupt my children at school to interview them because their hair wasn't done properly, or the amount of calls that were made by him were outrageous. So definitely know the laws of the state when it comes to CPS, because here in Texas, they can't enter your home without a court order. That was just passed September 2023. So don't ever be intimidated by CPS, because they will try to intimidate you. So I even told them, I was like, these are false claims. Like, you guys keep harassing us. So Cameron didn't talk to his father, Kevin, until the day I got in trouble. So he met him August of 2020 for the first time in his life, and then didn't even talk or speak to him until I got in trouble December 28th of 2021. And then Kevin didn't file for custody. He should have filed, you know, when I got in trouble and asked for the ex parte, but he didn't do that. He waited 2 days prior to me getting my kids back from CPS. And so I recently found the affidavit CPS wrote, and every single thing they said was an accusation. There was no proof there was any harm my kids were in. Everything has always been based around accusations. So you can't take a child based off accusations. You take a child because the parent, for example, was dangling the child over the bridge. Okay, that child is in danger. Or the woman who left her child in the crib and went to Puerto Rico or somewhere on vacation for 10 days, that's a fact. That actually happened. That's not an accusation. That's when CPS gets involved. You know, situations like that. You can't take children based off act, and that's what CPS does. They do that not just in Texas. I've seen other cases in other states that they do that. No. We don't do that, CPS. So, you know, that's another part of my mission with just this bill, you know, just making it into a law. Is like, the government has got to recognize we're not a dollar sign. You know, these are children being harmed. These are children, like my children have been so hurt. You know, Cameron has aggressive, but all my children, all my boys, I have four boys, they're 12, 9, 7, and now 6, but they've all become aggressive. They all very reactive. They don't trust even the police. They get scared to see a police officer. They get scared to see a constable. My oldest son came to court with me yesterday to record the hearing, which I tried to ask the judge, who is the injured party here? The state of Texas. Now, the state of Texas is not a living man or woman. Who is the injured party? We'll deal with that at trial. Okay, well, I have that recorded now, because now you violated my constitutional rights because this isn't a crime. But we could play this game. So Jaden, my 12-year-old, was very scared. You know, Mom, what do I do? What if he says anything? Do I have to talk? You know, just asking. I can tell you he was nervous, but he can't even trust the courts. House, you know, the court system. If we want help, you know, I there was a situation at my daughter's school, and I couldn't even talk to the school resource officer. I was like, I don't trust you. How can I trust you? You know, I don't, you're a government official. You have no, you know, you guys have interfered in our life for no reason. And that's what the government does. They interfere to do whatever they want to do. And that's against the Constitution. They can't do that. So that's what my brief is about. My brief has changed 3 times. I filed my appeal February 2nd. It's 102 pages, and I am now rewriting it for the third time. So it's now based on deprivation of rights under the color of law, and that all includes constitutional violations. The judge has immunity. Yes, judges do have immunity, but when they violate your constitutional rights, that immunity. So a lot of people don't know that because a lot of people try and say, no, the judges can never get in trouble. Oh, yes, they can, because if they violate our one law, the one law that we all have to follow, which is the Constitution, they lose their immunity and they will be held responsible. So it's, you know, now my son is now, Cameron is now with his grandmother, who doesn't even have any rights to him. Cameron is very, wants to see his brothers, wants to come home, is lonely. My 9-year-old is high-functioning autistic and cries every day for his brother. My daughter, who's 17, and my 12-year-old, Jaden, they can't even talk to Cameron because they miss him so much. So this is the pain that the courts caused my family, you know, and there's so many other families out there that have the same pain, but their moms or their dads are so scared because they don't know what to do. You know, the government, you know, intimidates them so much that they're like, I wish, they tell me, I have had a lot of people say, I wish I had your courage. I wish I knew what to do. I wish I knew how to file. And I'm like, I'll help you. You know, I will help you. You can't let them intimidate you, because my attorney yesterday told me, I'll withdraw then. You know, I'm not, there is no injured party. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. You know, and then he, after the hearing, after he heard what I had to say, like, oh no, I'm fighting, you know, oh, I'll be there for you. We're going to do this before trial. No, we're not. Cause I'm going to fire you here shortly and either find someone that actually understands the Constitution and my rights and is going to recognize that there's no case. So, I'm not going to give up on my fight. I'm fighting for not just my family and myself, but for everybody else that has been torn apart for the corruption in the court system, especially family court. It's rampant. It's in all 50 states. So there's a lot of us trying to work together just to push this bill and push the deprivation of rights under color of law. That is a lawsuit that you can file federally, because it needs to be recognized as a huge problem that we have.
Yeah. So is Cameron from different father? That's why he is with his father right now. That's why the I got it.
Yes, ma'am. They do. They all do. I'm adopted, so I always wanted to have a kid. When I had my kids, I was like, I don't want to be married to you, you know? It's all about just having a family and making my own family, because I didn't meet my birth family until 2016. So, just having my own kids, I was like, these are my babies. This is my family. And when you guys grow up and have kids, it's like we're starting our own family. So I had no problem being a single mom. You know, I work hard. I take care of my kids. But once I got in trouble, it was like I was the worst person in the world. I mean, we all make mistakes. We all eventually probably break laws, you know, some serious, some little. And, you know, you can't look down on someone just because they made a mistake. You know, yes, I should have taken a half a bottle of my Xanax. You know, I should have asked for help with my depression after my daughter's assault. I didn't know who to ask for help, you know, at that time. You know, the police didn't take me to the hospital when they should have. You know, if they took me to the hospital, then I wouldn't have gotten in the car. And I have no memory of getting in the car and driving. My son said I was driving like a turtle, you know, very slow. There was no damage. No one got hurt. He just was like, this isn't like mom's driving, you know. I saw the body cam. I was very polite. I passed all their tests. I could walk. I was not intoxicated. But then you want to, you know, here comes CPS saying I'm extremely intoxicated. Really? Well, my blood results don't show that. Neither does the body cam. And, you know, we don't lie to ruin families anymore. This has been going on too long. And I have no shame sharing my story. You know, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. And, you know, yeah, I should have not gotten in that car. You know, I take responsibility for those actions, even though I don't remember. You know, I do take responsibility. And I've been punished severely. I went through family court. I went through CPS. And they didn't even... all those cases were built off accusations. There's no facts, there's no evidence. And that is what is so important, because that's what they do. They try and ruin families based off accusations with no facts, no evidence. And the judges rule in the favor of the other person based off their own preference. And that's not right. You know, my case was out of Dallas District Court, 256 court, with Judge Street and Judge Moore. And I have no problem saying their names, because they need to know that what they're doing to not just my family but other families is unacceptable. We're not going to do that anymore. So I'm trying to use this our story, our testimony to get that out there, and then help other people that are too scared to talk, don't know how to. I'm going to share their story too, and we're going to get there. We're going to get to D.C. and someone's going to listen, and someone's going to say, hey, we need to get this bill signed, because we have a serious problem. You know, kids are getting hurt. Reading about how this affects children from my brief, it's lifelong, you know, problems. It can lead to a lot of issues. Cameron's not doing good in school now. He always used to be doing good in school. My other children have suffered in school, you know, outside of school, their aggression, you know, just it's changed them. You know, therapy helps them, but Cameron's not in therapy because that's not a priority to his father or grandmother. So, you know, that's what the state did. You know, they interfered in our family and they have hurt my children, and that's not okay. So I'm going to the Fifth Court of Appeals. I'm going to file my brief, and if they don't agree with me, then I'll take it to the Supreme Court. I'm not afraid anymore. And I just want everyone to know not to be afraid, just to keep going.
Yeah, we'll have to go through the fire. It's getting easier and easier. I can tell from my experience also. So they took your children after this incident, and they were 6 months with CPS, right? And you didn't see them, or so you had to get them back, right?
When they took my three children, Jaden, he's 12, Matthew's 9, and Christian is, well, 6 now. Those three, their fathers couldn't come get them, so they went to foster care. So I did see them once a week. They've never had a father, and I've never been married. So this was those three's first time living with a foster family with a man, you know, so that was a huge adjustment for them. They've never lived with a man mm-hmm. before. Then my daughter, she went to Maryland where her father was. She hasn't seen him since she was, I think, 3 or 4 at the time. She was 14 when this happened. So that was horrible. He refused to take care of her. I sent her money. I sent her clothes. I did everything I do all the time, even when mm-hmm. she wasn't here. And then Cameron went with Kevin to South Carolina. But Kevin didn't live in South Carolina. Kevin lived in Missouri and lied about his residency. And I kept telling the courts, I was like, guys, here's a PI report. Here's a background check I got from an FBI private investigator. Like, he doesn't even live in this state. He lives in Missouri with his wife and 2 children. They wouldn't even listen. They wouldn't even entertain these facts of proof. Like, facts are a police report. Facts are pictures from the dentist with it authenticated with a timestamp. You know, always remember, if you take a child to the dentist and you're in a custody battle, you need to get a summary of the dentist, you know, dentist visit, timestamp it, everything, because it has to be authenticated to be used in court. Everything else always has to be authenticated, because then you can use it in an appeal. That is what I've learned, that is super important. Business affidavits also authenticate stuff like that. But they were all separated, but I did see my three boys every week. I couldn't talk to Cameron because Kevin and his mother, Rhonda, they both said I didn't need to speak to him. It wasn't important. So I finally was able to talk to him once a week, and I only needed to talk to Cameron once a week, because that's all we needed to talk about. You know, we had nothing to talk about, which is ridiculous. I should be able to talk to him every day. I mean, that's my child. So then Adriana, she was up there. I talked to her all the time. But once we were together from, I picked Cameron up June 7th, 2022. I got Adriana out of Baltimore on June 16th of 2022. And then on June 24th is when the constable came to take Cameron away from me, based off of his father's false claims, his frivolous claims that he made in court. And the judge ruled based off no evidence, nothing. There was no facts, no evidence, and he took Cameron then. We spent 17 days together as a family. I thought everything was done. I was like, oh, I got you guys back in 6 months. CPS, I was the best parent they've ever met. You know, I did way more than CPS required me to do, the courts required me to do. I did all the parenting classes I could find on Google, you know, just to be a better mother, you know, better parent. I did a driving class. I mean, I did everything I could find just to show, like, hey, I made a mistake. I broke down. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this. You know, I'm not a bad mom. You know, I just made a mistake. You know, I'm human. I made a mistake. And mm-hmm. that's how I was able to get him back so quick. So we spent 17 days together, and then the custody battle started, and it was abusive litigation. A lot of fathers and mothers use the court system as a weapon, and that's what happened in my case. He used the court system as a weapon. I don't have any other facts to base off my other accusations in my head, so I won't say it. But, you know, the judges ruled based off their parental preference and not on facts. And a judge's responsibility is to rule based off facts and evidence. And if you don't have either, you don't have a case. So that's, again, why the Families Rights and Responsibilities Act, that bill has got to be made into a law. Our rights have to be recognized. We have a lot of rights, some I didn't even know existed. And Virginia Fox is the one who introduced it to Congress. There's a lot of co-sponsors, countries. So I tag them a lot. Jasmine Crockett is the one that's in Dallas that I've been trying to get in touch with. And she's the closest to me, but, you know, there's Ted Cruz and, you know, some other people that are part of this bill, but Jasmine is like right down the street. So once my brief is done, my next goal is big. Hi, Ms. Crockett. Yeah, I'm the one that tags you almost every day, and I really need to talk to you. You know, so I'm just really trying to get her to realize, like, we have a serious problem, not just in Dallas, but throughout the country, and this has got to be pushed into a law, because this is life-changing. This could help hundreds, thousands of families, you know, that goes through this situation. If the judges have to follow, you know, the Constitution and have to recognize our parental rights, you know, so I'm just going to keep talking about my story and name names and, you know, courthouses and, you know, and say, no, we're not going to do that. You know, I've already talked to a lot of people who want to file, you know, in court. No, don't trust the court system to decide the fate of your family. You know, you're a mother, you're a father, you guys made a child together, talk it out. Do not go to the court system for help. I mean, unless it's horrible and there's facts like, okay, this mother or father is endangering my child, that's different. But don't do it out of spite. Don't do it as a weapon or because you're jealous someone else, you know, your husband, ex-husband is with someone new or vice versa. You know, don't use the courts like that, because the courts are not going to be fair. The courts are full of corruption and it's not fair for the children. So everyone needs to remember it's the children that suffer. Yes, you know, parents suffer, but it's the children that suffer, and the children is who are important, that come first.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We are out of time already. Thank you for sharing the story for what are you doing. And your petition is on my radio show. If somebody wants to log in with Facebook and subscribe, please do that. And you can pause this episode and make everybody subscribe to my channel. And I definitely feel that, yeah, children are the most important thing and nothing else matters. And just like you said, if you don't feel like they're in danger, please don't do that and don't take them to court, because it's a traumatic experience that lasts forever. So thank
Absolutely.
You so much to
thank
the listeners who were with me.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
And the radio show is available to download for free. You can post it on YouTube channel if you want to. And love and compassion
thank
and
you.
Kindness, please practice this. And let's raise our children the right way and let's make a difference in this amazing country
absolutely.
We live in.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. This is great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Continue the fight. I'm standing right beside you.
Thank you. I appreciate
Bye,
that. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
We'll be right back.